Olá, sou a Mariana Alvim, bem-vindos ao Vale a Pena, o meu podcast onde conhecemos as pessoas enquanto leitores, com o apoio da WOOC, a maior livraria online portuguesa. Fiquem por aí, vale a pena.
Hello, Alexandra.
Hello.
We finally meet.
I know.
The first thing I told Alexandra was I'm a fan. So thank you all for being here. I have a book podcast and I met Alexandra online a year ago, I think.
Yes.
And I told her, you have a book on a podcast. I have a podcast on books. So we have to meet, and we finally did. And I loved your books. So the pleasure is even bigger to be here today. So I'm going to talk, Alexandra, about a couple of books that are translated to Portuguese. And then, I don't know if it happens to you, but whenever I'm a writer's fan, I always like to know what they're reading and what sometimes I follow what they suggest and I buy them all. So we're going to meet Alexandra as a writer, of course, and as a reader as well. So we'll start with, you dreamed of becoming a writer since you were a child.
Yes, ever since I was a small little girl, I used to make up stories. And so wanting to be a writer was my dream, and it came true.
Wow, thanks to you. But then the universe, I believe that the universe has its moves. So you worked in a couple of magazines.
Yes.
Then you went to Australia to work on Vogue, and then it was this chance article that
yes.
you read to become a novelist before you were 30.
Yes.
And you did it. Your first novel, What's New Pussycat, was published a week before your 30th.
Yeah, yeah. So I used to work on magazines, and I read an article that we were publishing about writing your first novel before you were 30. And so I thought, I'm going to try and do this. And so I wrote a novel, and I got an agent, and I got it published. And
it became top 10.
It was a top 10, and it came out the week before I was 30.
So big party
so
at your 30.
Yeah.
Did you have a big party at
yeah,
your 30?
Yeah, that was a really great time. Yeah,
of
yeah.
course. And you also, you've written a short story for Radio 4.
Yeah, a long time ago now, I did a short story for Radio 4, and they did a radio play. So that was fun.
That is amazing. There's this book I remember, and sometimes I recommend books also, considering the reader that you are, or the writer in this case. And you know Mario Vargas Llosa? He won the...
Oh, yes, we were just talking about him. Who won the Nobel?
Nobel,
yes.
Exactly. He has this wonderful book that he... First of all, in his real life, he had an affair with an aunt.
Wow.
So the book is about it, pretending it's fiction.
Okay.
But then the cool part about the book is that there's this... author of, no, he writes for radio, and he mixes up the stories. So I cannot spoil, but I recommend to you, it's called Aunt Julia and the Scriptwriter.
Okay.
From Mario Vargas Llosa. I'll recommend you a couple of more. So you've been translated in over 25 languages. You hit bestsellers list, and you achieved worldwide sales, more than 1 million copies. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the first one that made me meet you, because I'm a 40-something. You taught me how to say this censor.
So I think the best way to say this is a 40-something F-up.
F-up. Okay, so to avoid the slang.
Yes.
So 40-something. You were 40-something when
yes,
you wrote it.
Yes,
but it's not an autobiography.
No, it's fiction.
It's fiction.
But a lot of messages from readers tell me that I've written their life story.
Yeah. I'm not Nell. I read the book and I loved it. That's why I tried to talk to you. I loved Nell, but I'm one of her friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I've seen this coming, now it's more about 40-something.
The sequel.
The sequel is coming
yes,
out.
Yes, yes. There's going to be a sequel that's coming out in the summer. And it's more confessions of a 40-something F-up. And the story follows on what happens 18 months later when we finish this book to find out what's happened to Nell and all her friends.
It's great because actually when I finished the book, I thought about it. What happens now?
Yeah, yeah.
Even with the ending that I cannot
yes.
tell. So I'm mentioning the sequel because I want Saída de Emergência, the publisher, to bring it also. So can you want to tell a little about the book, about the story?
Yeah, so this is the book, and it's a story about a girl called Nell, and she discovers that she hasn't done all the things that you're supposed to do when she's over 40. So she's not married, she doesn't have children, she doesn't have a lovely house, She doesn't have a perfect Instagram life. And she moves from America to London. And because she feels different to all her friends, she meets an old woman who is in her 80s. And they become best friends. And it's about how life isn't how it looks on social media. And how life isn't perfect. And how things can feel a bit of a mess. But that's normal. And it's a funny, heartwarming story about these two characters. And a lot of people have said that they really relate to Nell, and that nobody ever really talks about it, really, about what life's really like.
And she has this anonymous podcast.
Yes.
She talks about it.
She has a podcast, which is, she calls the podcast Confessions of a 40-something F-Up, which was the title of the book.
But it's,
so that's kind of a good idea for you. What's your podcast called?
It's, I have to explain. It's okay. Valapena. It means it's worth it. When you read the book and you say, this is worth it, you have to read it. But also, it's the little game with the words, because pena is a feather, which you write with.
Oh, okay.
So like I interview
we
people.
We call it a quill.
A quill,
I think,
okay. So for us, it's a feather.
Yeah.
A pena, we use the word for both meanings with which you write with. So.
Oh, okay. That's a cool name.
And I also want to add about this book is that it's not only for 40th people. Because even at your 30s, and even Cricket, her friend is 80, so other problems are talked about here. We're all humans, so it's more, of course, when we're 40, it's different than when we're 30. But Instagrams attack us all.
The same. And I get so many messages from people, teenagers, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 60-somethings. Everybody said that they feel like this character.
Yeah, and she's nicknamed the new Bridget Jones. I think she's even more real than that.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's a great compliment. So she was dumped and fired to come back to England. And the other book that we have in Portugal, You're the One That I Don't Want, it's the other way around. She's English and she went to the United States.
Yes.
And you also lived in LA.
Yes.
So you're English and you're...
Yeah.
But again, not autobiographical.
No.
Can you tell us a little about this story?
So this book, I wrote this book... a few years ago now, but I think it's still a really great story. It's about a boy and a girl. They meet when they're teenagers in Italy, in Venice, and they fall in love and they kiss underneath the Bridge of Sighs in Venice. And there is a legend that if you kiss under the Bridge of Sighs, you will stay together forever and ever and have everlasting love. And then what happens is they break up. But they meet when they're older, and they realize, you are my soulmate. And so they start to date again and realize that they absolutely hate each other. But they cannot break up because of the legend. So the whole book is them trying to break the legend and break up. And it's a kind of a screwball comedy.
It is a comedy.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud.
Yeah, it's a curse. It's a curse.
Yeah, it is. The spell. And sometimes she thinks it's true, sometimes she doesn't. So, but we go along with her.
She tries so many things, and it's in the end, they have to go back to Venice.
Yeah. He finally agrees.
Yeah.
I can't say anymore. But I have to say, this book has, well, the same as the other one, of course, and all others, if you've written a lot of them. This book has some details that I love. I loved Magda. Do you remember,
yes,
her?
Yes.
Because you've written a while ago, a while back. So Magda is this very well-constructed personage, and just a little detail, but I love the little details. So Lucy is the main character, the protagonist, and she says, Lucy.
Yes.
She calls her Lucy because of her accent.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yes, Magda owns an art gallery in New York, and Lucy goes to work for her.
Exactly. So she's, when you have love for a secondary character, that's Magda. I'm in love with her. So I also recommend it. Vale Pena. It's worth it. It's the name of the podcast. People saying yes. Great. So I would love to now to meet you as a reader. And you chose classics. And I love that.
Pride
and Prejudice. Jane Austen.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite books. I read that book at school. It's a really funny book. And what I love about Pride and Prejudice is the small observations that Jane Austen writes about. And I think that book, is it 200 years old now? And it's still relevant today?
Yeah, it was written in 1813.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's really funny. And it, yeah, it's one of my favorites.
It's got, they say that's like a book of manners.
Yeah. No, it's great. And I love Mr. Darcy. I wrote a novel that was about dating Mr. Darcy because he's supposed to be this perfect man.
And you mentioned your novels, Be My Guest, mentioned them also, that the publisher brings them to Portugal.
I wrote Me and Mr. Darcy, and it's about dating Mr. Darcy, because he's supposed to be this amazing, perfect man, and in my book it turns out that he's not so perfect.
Yeah, and Me and Mr. Darcy won the Best New Fiction Award at the Jane Austen Regency World Awards.
Yeah.
It's great.
No, I know. It was a fun book to write.
So the follow, coming back to Pride and Prejudice, the novel follows the character development of Elizabeth Bennet. She's the protagonist. She's one of five daughters, and they're in, most people know the story, right? But they're in danger of becoming poor because there are no men in the family, and the father himself, the mother has deceased, and she doesn't have an heritage. So you know that the title, Pride and Prejudice, was supposed to be called First Impressions.
Yes, yes.
You didn't know that.
It's interesting, because I think, well, first impressions, a lot of people go by first impressions, don't they, when you meet someone?
Exactly.
And actually, it's all about how first impressions can be wrong, because what the opinion of Mr. Darcy is when people first meet him is that he's really arrogant and he's this really rude guy, but then you discover that there is a reason for that, and actually he's a really good guy underneath. So it's a good title, I think, First Impressions.
Yeah, so you know why they changed it? Because two years previously, she published Sense and Sensibility. So what they learned from is like the Sense and Sensibility, it's an alliteration.
Yes.
So it's not the same letter, but the same sounds. So they said Sense and Sensibility was a success 2 years previously, so Pride and Prejudice also...
Alliteration works well with titles, so... Me and Mr. Darcy, Confessions of a 40-something F-Up. People like that alliteration. It works well on titles today.
And you also have this thing with music. There are some titles that resemble music, or is it a coincidence?
Oh, the first... there's been a couple of... Well, yeah. Who's That Girl was a title of a book, which is a Madonna track.
Exactly.
And then
I recognize
What's New Pussycat was the Tom Jones... So it's the Tom Jones track. So
okay.
Yeah,
so
that was done unintentionally.
Was it? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it was a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. But yeah, then.
Oh, and Don't You Forget About Me. I think that's Simple Minds, isn't it?
I'm not sure, but
yeah,
I know it's a song.
Yeah.
So great. So yeah, it was, as you were saying, it mentions this book. Besides the fact that it's old, it's not. It's still, this still happens. Right? The hasty judgments of people, the repercussions.
Yeah.
Repercussions of it. So to appreciate the difference between superficial goodness and actual goodness. It's a great book. You read it when you were a student, you were saying?
Yeah, yeah, when I was a student, when I was about 17, I think.
Oh!
So, yeah, and then I read it recently when I was writing Me and Mr. Darcy. I've got a very well-thumbed copy with lots of little scribbles in the margin.
By pen or pencil?
By pencil.
It hurts less.
Yes, yes.
So another book you loved, The Time Traveler's Wife.
Oh, I loved that book.
Okay, we have it also translated in Portuguese, A Mulher do Viajante no Tempo, from Audrey Niffenegger.
It's the That's first... a difficult name to pronounce,
yeah,
isn't it?
I didn't even know if I said it well. I said it quickly. Audrey Niffenegger.
Yes.
You loved it. Tell me a little about
that. Yeah, that's such a fantastic book. It's very cleverly structured, and it's about a time traveler, and he meets a girl called Claire. And it's about how they meet. They keep bumping into each other because he can jump through time. And they eventually fall in love and they get together. But he keeps disappearing from the life because he has this genetic...
Chrono impairment.
Yeah, this weird genetic thing that makes him suddenly time travel. So they could be sitting having dinner and he suddenly just disappears and travels and jumps forward and jumps back. And it's a really... clever book, and it's funny, and the scene at the end made me cry, and the movie is not as good as the book. The book's fantastic.
Don't watch the movie, read the book.
The book is amazing.
So when they meet, they're both adults, but she's seen them before lots of times because she keeps visiting her in the past.
Yes, and she kind of knows something bad's going to happen because she remembers a scene from her childhood, but she doesn't know when it's going to happen.
Okay.
It's all about time, and it's really clever.
And there are a few details that I love. Whenever he time travels, he appears naked.
Yes.
And so yes. he knows yes. in the future when yes. that's going to happen in the past. So she asked for her help yes. to bring him clothes.
Yes. He hides clothes, doesn't he, around?
On certain places yeah, yeah. at certain times. You know that the author, she wrote this book as a metaphor because she was frustrated with love. So this is a metaphor
oh, I didn't know that.
For her failed oh, relationships.
Wow, okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
That's funny. So the time traveler's wife, a mulher do viajante, Nutem. Another classic, of
I know.
Course.
I'm a
chose.
Big on classics.
That's great. Get to know you as a reader. Emily Bronte, Wuthering Heights.
Yeah, I love that
1847.
Book.
So yeah. tell me a little.
So where I grew up as a child is very close to where the Brontes lived.
Yeah, so, Yorkshire.
Yeah, Yorkshire. So when I was small, me and my sister would go to the parsonage. My sister's here. We would go and visit the place where they lived, and we would look in the museum, and they would write these little tiny, tiny books. And so I was fascinated. And then when I got older and I read the story of Wuthering Heights, which is all set in the area where I grew up, and it's a really, it's kind of a crazy book. And Heathcliff is kind of, you love Heathcliff and you hate Heathcliff because he's just, he's crazy, this guy. But it's, but you know, he like digs her up when she's died and stuff. But it's a brilliant, brilliant book and I love it. And it's inspired so many things when you think about music and, you know, Kate Bush song and films and I love the fact that they were girls, they were sisters writing at a time when women weren't supposed to write, so they had to change their names so they sounded like men, and the books were published and they were a huge success, and that's a book that I will come back to time and time again.
Do you usually reread the books you love?
Yeah.
So Emily Bronte, she had this difficult childhood. She lost her mother when she was 3. You know all this, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And also 2 older sisters got sick when they went to school, and eventually they passed away also, so their father took them from school. They had house schooling. And then she wrote with her sister, and you know that Wuthering Heights was accepted by the publisher, along with Anne Bronte's Agnes Grey, before the success of their sister Charlotte Bronte novel, Jane Eyre.
Yes,
but then,
that's another great book.
Jane Eyre, yes. I read it when I was a teenager yeah, also. Yeah. And Jane Eyre was published before. So it came after, but it was published before. And then after Emily's death, Charlotte edited a second edition of Wuthering Heights, which was published in 1850.
It's a long time ago these books are published.
They're so, as of date now, from today.
Notice they're all female authors that I love.
Yeah. So you know that she's best known for Wuthering Heights. It's almost her only book. And then she wrote over 200 poems.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And she began another novel, but she died at the age 30 from tuberculosis. But then her sister, Charlotte, destroyed what she was writing. So there's no, even in the museum that you saw.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
I know, it's really sad. They lived tragic lives, but the books are amazing.
The books are, maybe the tragic lives helped them.
Well, I think it's with a lot of artists, isn't it? If they have these really tragic lives, they produce all these amazing paintings and music and books. And
That's so true. So the Wuthering Heights from Emily Bronte. Another book you read, and I wondered if you read this before writing the 40-something F-up. I feel bad about my neck from the fabulous Nora Ephron. Yeah. It's also translated into Portuguese, Não Gosto do Meu Pescoço. She wrote it when she was 65.
Yeah, that's a great... Nora Ephron is the woman that wrote... it was Sleepless in Seattle, Harry Met Sally. And she wrote a collection of essays called I Feel Bad About My Neck, about when she's older and she hates her neck. She always wants to wear a scarf, but she's a really, really funny writer. And so they're just little short essays in a collection. And it's a good book for dipping in and out and reading. But they're really funny, and I would love to be as good a writer as Nora Ephron.
You are as good as a writer. Oh,
she's great.
That's different.
She's great.
I read The Heartburn. And I love more yours.
Heartburn was inspired by her divorce, wasn't
it? Yes, it was. But it was special also, of course. So there's a few tips that Dolly Allerton, she made the introduction of her book, and she's also a great writer, Dolly Allerton, and we also have her translated into Portuguese. So she says, like, couple of advices. Never marry a man you wouldn't want to be divorced from.
Very true.
Very true. If this shoe doesn't fit in the shoe store, it's never going to fit.
Yeah.
This sounds so obvious, but we still do that mistake. Yeah. Right? Oh, it's going to be larger later. When your children are teenagers, it's important to have a
Get
dog.
Get a dog. Yeah, so that somebody loves you.
Exactly. If only one third of your clothes are mistakes, you're ahead of the game.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, no, that's very true.
So she's great. Anything you think is wrong with your body at the age of 35, yeah. You will...
She says something about put on a bikini and don't take it off until you're 35. That's what she said, which is really funny.
So you'll be nostalgic by the age of 45 if you feel this by the age of 35. So great. So these are the books that you chose. And you also recently read the autobiography of the author Miriam Margoyles.
Yeah. She's, I don't know if you know her. She's an actress.
I had to look it up, but I recognized her immediately.
She was in Harry Potter.
Exactly, one of the teachers.
Yeah, she was in Harry Potter.
Grayish, curly hair woman.
And she's a famous actress in the UK. She's done lots of stuff. And she is in her 80s. And she wrote an autobiography. And it's a really funny... Very real, she tells it like it is, autobiography, and it went to number one in the UK, and she also narrated the audio. And I like a lot of non-fiction, because when I'm writing fiction, I can't concentrate on reading fiction, so I like to read autobiographies, and that's a really good one. Okay. I recommend that one.
Great. Miriam Margoyles, the autobiography. I also recommend to you Viola Davis. She also has a recent autobiography.
I recommend it. I follow her on Instagram.
So do I. So she's constantly posting.
Yes.
It's called Finding Me.
Oh, okay. And it's good recommendation.
Yeah, right. From all the books that you mentioned, the ones you loved reading, Wuthering Heights, Pride and Prejudice, Time Traveler's Wife, and the autobiography, pick one.
Wuthering Heights.
Okay, 100%. That was fast.
Yeah.
So at the end of our conversation, I always give us, I already gave you suggestions of reading, and I also offer you one.
Okay,
so
great.
So I have a book for you.
And I hope it's in English and not Portuguese.
Of course.
That would be difficult for me.
The book that you mentioned, I have these two details that I loved. Let me find them. The Time Traveler's Wife was classified both science fiction and romance.
Okay.
And Wuthering Heights, the one you picked for, as favorite, is influenced by romanticism and gothic fiction.
Oh, okay.
So even though subtle, I thought that was your genre. So what about your favorite genre?
Gosh, I have lots of... I read a lot of stuff. I like romance. I like something that they call in England cozy crime, which is like Richard Osman, which would be like a detective series, but not, I don't like crime, thrillers.
Yeah.
I don't like psychological thrillers and crime. I like the nice crime stories, you know, the sort of, I'm trying to think of other people that have written those kind of stuff. But Richard Osman is a big one. Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Which one?
S.G. Bennett.
Okay, my mom... In where I live, just saw her in my mum lives in a little village, and the writer came to the little village and did a talk, and my mum got the book.
Wow,
yeah.
S.J. Bennett. She's also from Saída de Emergência, and we have translated several books. She's like a queen solving mysteries. Great. So another recommendation. So you only read when you're not writing. You only read fiction when you're not writing.
Yes.
And what about your relationship with music? Do you need silence to write and
read?
Yes,
total silence.
Okay.
Some people write with the radio on. No way.
I interviewed this Portuguese author, and she needs the music.
Oh, no way.
Like sad music if she's sad or if the scene is sad. Yeah. So, have you heard of this book, The Seven Moons of Mali Almeida?
I have heard of this book, but I haven't read it.
Okay.
I love the cover.
The cover is beautiful. It was the winner of the 2022 Booker Prize. The author is from Sri Lanka. And it's also, he was a photographer, the main character, Mali Almeida, a gambler and a closet gay. He has woken up dead.
I love that.
But then his dismembered body is sinking in the Beta Lake. He has no idea who killed him. So even if the afterlife, time is running out, he has seven moons to find out what happened.
That's great. Thank you so much.
I love
it.
Love that.
So I don't know if you've seen it, but this is the book.
I'm sorry, Sita Dimitrescu. You have to translate it.
I look forward to reading this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's so a pleasure to meet you.
No, it's a pleasure to meet you too. I was here in Lisbon in February last year, and we were supposed to meet, and we messaged, but then we missed each other. So it's so nice that we got to meet each other today.
Thank you. What a pleasure. And keep on writing. I'm waiting for the sequel.
Okay. Well, that one's coming in the summer.
I'm waiting. Thank you very much, Alessandra.
Thank you.
Thank you. Obrigada a todos.